Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Reading from the Kitab Fadail A'mal, from the chapter of Virtues of the Glorious Quran. Hadith number 26. Hazrat Fudala ibn Ubayd radiyallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala listens to the voice of the reader of the Quran more eagerly than does a master to the song of his singing slave girl. Hazrat Fudala ibn Ubayd radiyallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala listens to the voice of the reader of the Quran more eagerly than does a master to the song of his singing slave girl. The Quran should not be read in a singing tone, because doing so is forbidden according to many ahadith. It is, however, better to read the Quran in a sweet voice, but without singing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, beautify the Quran with a good voice. In another hadith it is said, a sweet voice makes the beauty of the Quran twice as beautiful. Once Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu happened to pass a place in Kufa and saw a gathering of sinners in a house. A singer named Za'zan was singing and playing his music. After hearing his voice, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, what a sweet voice, if only it was used for reading the glorious Quran. Saying this, he covered his head with a piece of cloth and went away. Za'zan saw him saying something. After asking the people, he came to know that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was a sahabi who had passed by saying those words. Za'zan became very worried and broke all his musical instruments, changed his life and became a follower of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Later on, he became a great scholar, alim of his time. Hazrat Huzayfa radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, read the Quran in the Arabic style. Do not read it like lovers or in the style of the Jews and the Christians. There will soon come some people who read the Quran to impress others, like singers and mourners. Their reading will be of no benefit to them at all. They themselves will get into trouble as well as those who admire their reading. Someone asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is it that reads the glorious Quran in the best voice? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, it is he whom you hear and feel that he is full of the fear of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, it is he whom you hear and feel that he is full of the fear of Allah. That is, his voice shows that he is overcome with fear. Reading from the Kitab Mu'asharat, Islamic Social Etiquette. General etiquette. Number one. Anything which is used by a number of persons should be replaced in its original place after use, so that someone else does not have to search for it when required. Number two, when having used an item, example a chair, do not leave it in the way or in a place where it becomes an obstacle for others. Number three, when giving someone an item, do not throw it to him from a distance, give it in his hand. Number four, when passing something heavy, hot, or liquid, or food to another, do not pass it over someone's head. Perhaps it may spill. Number five, if a needle becomes stuck in one's clothing, do not pull it out with one's teeth. It may break and hurt you. Similarly, do not pick your teeth with a needle or a knife. This is dangerous. Number six, do not leave a needle or any sharp or dangerous item on a chair or bed. Someone may sit or lay down on it. Number seven. Do not suddenly lift a stone which has been lying in the same spot for a while. Sometimes a scorpion, etc., may be concealed thereunder. Number eight. Do not throw away a lighted match. First extinguish it. Number nine. Never leave a candle or burning lamp unattended. Ensure the stove, heater, iron, etc. are switched off before leaving home. Number 10. When handling dangerous items such as boiling water, hot oil, etc., be very careful. Some people are in a careless habit of leaving a cup of hot tea water at the edge of a table. A small child might grab it and spill the boiling contents on himself. Women are in the habit of leaving cooking utensils with their handles protruding from stoves and tabletops. A passing person may bump against the handle and spill the contents with grave consequences. If children are present, greater care must be taken as they can pull the utensil down playfully when the mother is inattentive. Number 11. If you have to pass a gathering or crowded area with a sharp instrument, keep the point or sharp edge down, covered or concealed to avoid accidental injury to anyone. Number 12. Do not ingest, point a sharp instrument to anyone. This is dangerous and forbidden. Do not throw anything, example a pebble, in playfulness. It may strike someone in the eye or hurt another. Number 13. Do not give an open knife in someone's hand. Place it down so that he may lift it up himself. Number 14. Always keep a stock of essential medicines at home. However, ensure that it is kept well out of the reach of children. Number 15. Do not use medicine without it having been prescribed by a qualified physician, especially eye drops and ear drops. Inshallah, we'll continue. Allah give us the tawfiq.
عليه وكفى وسل عباده الله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم. We tried to explain for our own benefit, for everyone's benefit, about the Qur'an Sharif, what a great kitab it is, and then what our duties are to the Qur'an Sharif and how we should take the maximum benefit. And Qur'an Sharif is related to the month of Ramadan, and Ramadan is the month of fasting. So Allah Ta'ala has prescribed fasting so that we purify ourselves. Spiritually also, physically also, it's a purification. A very great for purification physically also. But our object is the spiritual aspect, that we get cleansed up spiritually. So Allah Ta'ala in His great, great mercy and kindness prescribed in the month of Ramadan, Allah made rozas, fasting compulsory upon us. And this is a great, great favor of Allah Ta'ala. And may we understand our whole deen, then we won't take any aspect of deen as a burden, as a duty, as a hardship, but we will enjoy it. And then automatically it will come on our tongues, رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِسَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا وَنَبِيًّا. And these are the three questions in the qabr also. This is what we are going to ask about Islam, about Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, about our Rabb. The same three questions we will be asking the qabr. And if we have made this mahbub to us, if we have understood our deed, just to understand that, our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahumullah, gave this very beautiful example that in according to Islam, laws of Islam, if a person steals, then his left hand must be first cut at the wrist. So outwardly, when people say that this is barbaric, na'uzu billah, this is ancient law, it can't apply in these times, etc. And unfortunately also, many of us get involved in that, because the whole environment is set in such a way, I'll just remind me where I am. One very important thing, today the environment that is set, that we have to be very careful for ourselves and our children also. One thing is, these games that come on the computers, etc. There is great, great, it's a sinister plot. It brings in so much of harm into a person. It attacks our deen and the fundamentals of our deen, our aqaid. The same is with the games, and also these, what the children look at? Cartoons. There also, there is always something at the back, which is also extremely dangerous. and it is pumped right into the system of a person. Then, together with that, I'll just repeat again what Maulana Ridwan had explained, which is a very important point, the jokes that we make also. Some jokes have been made such a way that we look down upon our own things. Like, for example, the one he explained, that after the Arabs, the first nation that is very strong in jihad are the Afghans, who we call the Pathans. So you'll get a lot of jokes about the Pathans, that they are stupid, that they are all those type of jokes. That is actually to make our mind, to take out the spirit of jihad from us. To make effort for deen that we look down. You'll get many jokes about two wives. A person who's got two wives, three wives, four wives. And this is to take that out of us, that we look down upon this. That the Islamic system must be taken out. And many other things like that. So we also, how many times Allah forgive us, here from the mimbar we make these jokes. And it is totally haram, all this. Because it totally drives us away. The very core of our deen is washed out, or washed away. So therefore, we must be very careful about these things. Reading all these novels, etc. All that also, something is being pushed into us without us realizing it. And then and it is done in such a way, shaitan is the ustad, the teacher, and he's put it such a way that we are still good Muslims, but inside it is completely empty. It is a capsule with nothing inside. And if that is our case, we are in a very, very serious condition. So we must be very careful. Hazrat Hakim Saab, Rahmatullah Ali, explained that the cutting of the hand, he says that, for example, well, now perhaps I don't know if it is cut in Saudi or not, but before it used to be. But it doesn't mean that every second person, his hand is cut. The West has put it such a way because in their system there is a lot of robbery, a lot of stealing and that. But in an Islamic environment, where there is a true Islamic environment, you won't get a person stealing in the first place. And once example is made of one person, it puts everyone else. One person, Qari Sahib of Madinatul Munawwara, he explained to us that he told us maybe 20 years ago, and when this happened, maybe another 10, 15 years ago, maybe 35, 40 years ago, there was a certain spot where if a person was executed for capital crime, he was beheaded. And then the people had to gather also. That is also part of Sharia. People must witness this happening. He says, he was there. And after that, he says, for about 3 days in Medina Sharif, you wouldn't hear a person talking also, when you see this happen. So for what a long time an example is set for everyone. And then the rest of the people live free, live in peace and happiness. You don't have any fear. We saw those days also, and many others also have seen it in Makkah Sharif, where the jewelers, now they got shutters, they pulled down the shutters. But those days, the jewelry was just like that, and just throw a cloth over, and they go for namaz. It was so common, everywhere, gold they are selling, and just a cloth over, and they are gone for namaz. Now we see that even the shopping malls in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, got security personnel, and with all the shutters and that, this is all whole lot other expenses. Whereas one little thing you do, and everyone is safe and sound, and nobody has got any fear of anything. So until today, alhamdulillah, compared to any other country, Saudi, especially Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, very peaceful. As far as crime and all this is concerned, it's not like people going to the haram middle of the night, women perhaps go on their own also. They shouldn't, it's not so good, but where it's just nearby and they go, but completely safe. So, if we have this Islamic system. So, Hazrat Hakim Sahib, the Ahmad Rahmatullah Ali, explained that if we understand this, then we will realize, and beautifully Hazrat put it, that Allah gave us our begging bowl. Ya Yuhannas Antumul Fuqara ilallah. You are all faqirs by Allah Ta'ala. And a faqir, a beggar, needs his begging bowl to take from Allah Ta'ala. Like a professional beggar, he uses his little dish or whatever to go around and he begs. But his work is from 9 to 4 or whatever, then he puts his bowl away. He counts his money and it's finished. But a person who's 24 hours the faqir of Allah Ta'ala, he needs his begging bowl all the time. So Hazrat explained that even middle of the night you get up and you haven't got himmat to make wudu, you haven't got himmat to make 2 rakats of namaz, at least just sit up in your bed and just make your begging bowl. And the masnoon way, according to what Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi taught us, that when you lift your hands, it must be in line with your bosom or your chest. And there must be space between the 2 hands also, and the fingers also must be a little apart. So if you look at this begging bowl, it's like all broken. So when Allah is going to put a person got a broken bowl, if I just put a little, it's going to go through. So Allah Ta'ala will fill it up. And also amongst the adab of dua, after making dua, to wipe it on your face. You see, the ashraf, the most honorable part of a human's body. And it is so to say that, oh Allah, what you gave me, I appreciate it. Like you'll find many people, when you give them something, they put it on their forehead, or in appreciation, or they put it to their face. So, ya Allah, what you gave me, I appreciate it. That what we asked for, you have given it to us. And Allah is so Rahim and Kareem that He's saying He got it already. Now how can't I give it to Him? So when we ask Allah like that and we make this, that Allah has given it, so Allah gave you your begging bowl to take from Him. And when we didn't take from Him and we went and steal something, so Allah Ta'ala says, you're not fit for that begging bowl now. So we take half the bowl away. So the hand is cut here. So your half bowl is taken away. Also, Hazrat gives this example that if the state president, prime minister of the country, he sees a person who's selling tomatoes and potatoes on a street corner, and the state president goes and steals from there, and he puts 2 tomatoes in his pocket. Now, what's the need for the state president to do that? So Allah has made us all like state presidents, and we must take from His treasure. Now, when we didn't take from there, and Allah gave us the begging bowl, that you just beg and ask from Allah Ta'ala, and He will give you. And we didn't do that, so it's only right that the hand must be cut down. And when it is cut, you'll find the rest of the people live in peace and in harmony and with security. They live without any security systems around. And they live in great security. Right till later times, in Cordova, Spain, where the great masjid, which was such a big masjid, and today there are so many churches in that masjid. But unfortunately, but there they show you that here the Muslims muhalla, like the areas of the Muslims lived here. Here the Jewish people lived. Here the Christians lived. And those guys tell you that in those days they lived with absolute harmony. There were no fights between them or anything. Today it is the people who instigate all this. And they cause all this. Otherwise, according to Islamic law and the incidents we read, what justice there was, we can't believe what there was justice like this. One instance, which I don't remember so clearly, but just the gist of it, when the Muslims started ruling Egypt, then there were Christians also there, and they were given their freedom to carry on worshipping as they want to, according to their religion. And they had a statue of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. According to their minds, the statue was made. And some person had cut the nose, broken the nose of the statue. So the Christians came with their priest and all, and to the Amirul Mu'mineen. And they say, this is totally unacceptable, and we are not going to lie down. We want this thing to be sorted out. So he was very, very disturbed that definitely it's a wrong thing that has been done. So he said, he thought of it, he said, we'll replace it. He says, we're not happy with you replacing it. And they were insisting that it must be done. So he said, okay, come tomorrow. And he whole night he was moving up and down, wondering now what to do. So finally, the next day when they came, he said that we'll go there where the statue is, and all the people must gather, Christians, Muslims, all. And you people from me, Amirul Mu'mineen, you must cut my nose off. You chop my nose off.
These were those people. And when they were there, and he told us, so then suddenly, a soldier, Muslim soldier, came out running, and he said, "No, Amirul Mu'mineen, just hold on. I was responsible for that. And I take responsibility for that." When the rule was like that, and this can only come with the fear of Allah, and more than that, the love of Allah. And that is what we have to try and develop with. And this month is the ideal month for that. Rozas are the ideal thing. Let us not just keep our rozas. I'm addressing myself. We're just passing our Ramzan, and we just, the reality has to come into us. And I am the most in need of it. May Allah Ta'ala let us set these qualities and the essence of it. Not just a matter of making lot of ibadat, etc., but that this reality of Islam comes into us. The world will see peace. We will have peace everywhere, even me and all of us, this reality of Islam comes. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to bring this within our lives. Allah has prescribed rozas, and this is an ideal occasion, the month of Ramadan, that we start moving in this direction. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.